Well, dear friends, if you would remain standing, and if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. You can find on page 750, if you're using a pew Bible, Daniel, chapter 12. This morning we are back in Daniel 12. Now, this is our last time for now in the book of Daniel, our last sermon. Through this wonderful Old Testament book, this series has been challenging, but Lord willing has been an encouragement to each of you as it has been to my own soul. And this is a preview of where we're going to go. Next Sunday morning, we will start a new series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So we'll get some Paul. It's always good. You can't have enough Paul. So we'll begin next Lord's Day morning with 1 Thessalonians, and we'll work through 1 Thessalonians and then 2 Thessalonians as well. So looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us in the weeks and months to come. But this morning we'll be wrapping up together Daniel chapter 12, and it ends on a challenging note. Daniel doesn't let us go easily. There are some challenging details in chapter 12, but as we hopefully will see, the main idea that Daniel wants to leave us with under the inspiration of the Spirit is clear and encouraging to each of us. So Daniel 12, beginning in verse 1. This is God's Word, written for you and for me today. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, who is above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. From the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom into your word, that you would give us your Spirit, give us understanding. Give us more insight into the glory and the sovereignty and the power of our Heavenly Father and the rest that awaits His people, each of us, in glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Conflict, tribulation, trials, and hardships characterize life in this fallen world, in this present evil age. Acts 14:22 tells us that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy that all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Jesus tells us in John 16 that in this world you will have tribulation. Peter speaks of our time in this world as the time of our exile, and Paul speaks of this age as an age of suffering in Romans 8:18. But also, and at the same time, Paul says in Romans 8:18 that the suffering of this age is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. And Jesus says that, yes, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Jesus, dear friends, is making all things new. Jesus is returning to usher in a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. On the last day, on that great resurrection day, Jesus will present His bride spotless and beautiful, radiant, glorious, having been washed whiter than snow. Jesus will present you, His precious bride, to His Father. And these truths of what Jesus is doing and what Jesus will do, specifically when He returns, move us, encourage us, and stir us to live faithfully in this world, in the here and now. Something of a snapshot is that our future hope, your future hope, dear friends, stirs us and ought to stir you to present faithfulness. Our future hope, the surety of God's future promises, move us to live faithfully in the present, in the here and now. We see this throughout the pages of our Bibles. Think of the Old Testament. Think of Noah. It was God's promise that moved Noah to his faithfulness. It was God's promise to Abraham that stirred Abraham to a life of faithfulness. And so it is for each of us today. And these are two of the key themes that we have seen through Daniel from the very beginning. What the Lord will do in the future and how that moves us and stirs us to present peace and joy and faithfulness. And these are the two key themes that Daniel closes his book with in Daniel chapter 12. Our future hope, the future sure, certain hope of God's people, of the believer, which stirs us and moves us to present faithfulness in the here and now. And these will be the two broad points that we consider this morning: our future hope and our present faithfulness. Our future hope we see in verses 1 through 4. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, if you recall from last week, Daniel chapters 10 through 12, 10, 11, and 12, form a unit. We are to take them together. And they are the last vision that the Lord gives to Daniel. Chapter 10 was the introduction of this final vision. Chapter 11, which we looked at last week, was the body of this prophecy, the main part of this vision. And chapter 12 is the conclusion of the vision, with one little exception. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, is part and parcel of the body of the vision. So to be technical, the vision, the prophecy that is given to Daniel, runs from chapter 11, verse 2, through chapter 12, verse 4. Remember, the chapter divisions are not part of the inspired text. Sometimes they're more or less helpful. Now, I want to call your attention to verse 2. Look at verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Chapter 12, verse 2 is arguably the Old Testament's clearest teaching on the doctrine of the resurrection, on the doctrine of the general resurrection of all mankind on the last day. One commentator, furthermore, Stuart Olliott, also refers to the general resurrection or resurrection day as division day. That all mankind will be raised, but some raised unto everlasting life and others raised unto everlasting judgment, as Jesus himself says in John chapter 5, the passage that Elder Carr read just a few moments ago. We see that here in our passage as well, the resurrection of the believers to everlasting life, to newness of life in the Lord. Note the reference to the wise who shine like the brightness of the sky above in verse 3, reference to the resurrection of the believer unto everlasting life. But also the resurrection of the unbeliever, the unrighteous, those who have turned away and rejected the Lord and the gospel unto everlasting judgment. Note in verse 4 the reference to those who are running to and fro. And there Daniel is alluding back to Amos chapter 8, verse 12, with a reference to those who have rejected God's word. They run to and fro, but their knowledge of the Lord never increases. They run to and fro, but there is no satisfaction that only the Lord Jesus gives them. Those will be raised to everlasting judgment. The general resurrection, resurrection day, division day, God's people to everlasting life, and those who have rejected the Lord unto everlasting judgment. Now, just as a brief aside, there are some who argue that the Old Testament really doesn't have a doctrine of the resurrection, that the truth of the general resurrection is a New Testament thing. That really wasn't part of Israel's theology, wasn't really a part of the Old Testament, but that simply is just not the case. Now, it was the Old Testament believers' understanding of the resurrection as fully developed as those of us who, by God's grace, are living on this side of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, of course not. But that truth, that understanding, that hope of a future resurrection was most certainly present. We see it here in crystal clear in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. We also see it, for example, in Job chapter 19. Let me just read this just as an example. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. We see Job's hope of a future resurrection. "For I know that my Redeemer lives," says Job, "and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." Job looks forward in the midst of his hardships and his trials. Job looks forward to the day when he will stand on the earth and see his Lord with his own eyes. Other passages as well, but these two are quite clear. Now, I want to take a step back for just a moment to get the big picture of this vision that the Lord gave to Daniel, stretching from chapter 11, verse 2, through chapter 12, verse 4. And it is a vision, you might summarize it as one of conflict unto resurrection. Conflict leading to resurrection. If you remember last week, it was all about conflict. Wars and rumors of wars, beginning with the Persians and moving to the Greeks and Alexander, moving to Antiochus Epiphanes, and then we were moved forward, if you recall from last week, in chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, we were moved forward to the last day and the rise of the Antichrist. Then we come to chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this theme of great conflict leading up to the resurrection is emphasized. I want to focus for a moment on verse 1. This verse that describes what immediately precedes this great resurrection of all. Look at verse 1 again. "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust shall awake." And then it goes on. It speaks of this time of trouble that moves into this great day of resurrection. We read of Michael, the archangel and the great leader of God's angelic armies and his angelic hosts, engaged in a great battle with the forces of darkness. Now, this picture of trial leading to a unique period of intense trial that culminates in the great resurrection is a pattern and a theme that we find amplified in the New Testament. So hang with me for just a few more minutes, then we'll come up for some air. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. To Revelation chapter 20. Now I want you to see how John, the Apostle John, describes this similar notion. In Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read a few verses and summarize what John is teaching us. Revelation chapter 20. Begin reading in verses 1 through 3. Let me read these verses and then we'll make a few comments. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And threw him, that is through Satan, into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. These verses describe what happened at Jesus' first coming. His death and his resurrection, that in Jesus' resurrection, he defeated and dealt a great mortal wound to Satan. As John describes it, Satan was in a sense cast down. He was bound so that the gospel might extend to the nations. And that's the day and age in which we live. The gospel is going to the nations. Let's get down to verse 11. Verses 11 through 12. Let me begin actually in verse 7. Pick it up in verse 7. We'll look at verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. That's a description of Daniel 12, verse 1, this brief, intense period of struggle and trial and persecution unleashed on the church just prior to the resurrection. Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. There's the time of unique distress, the time of unique trouble, described in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The final defeat, the final once and for all defeat of Satan and his minions as they are thrown into the lake of fire, never ever again to torment the people of God. And then we look at verses 11 and 12. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. There is Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. The general resurrection, all standing before the throne. Some banished to everlasting judgment, but God's people, His precious bride, welcomed into His presence unto everlasting life, those whose names were written in the book of life. And what awaits us? What awaits you, dear church? Revelation 21 and 22. Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The heavenly Jerusalem coming down, and Jesus will be our King living in our very midst. This is a little bit of a detour, but what we see in Revelation 20 is consistent with, and in a sense amplifies, what we read in Daniel chapters 11 and 12. Satan has been dealt a mortal wound. He is a defeated enemy. He has been bound and cast down so that the gospel might extend to the nations, but he is still on the loose, seeking to do great damage to the people of God. And yet, before that final resurrection day, there'll be this unique time of trial and this intense period of hardship and persecution. But again, Satan's final end is certain. He will be defeated, cast away. All of humanity will be raised, and God's people, you and I, dear friends, raised unto everlasting life. Why is Daniel 12, going back to Daniel 12 now, why is it here in the first place? Why this reference to the resurrection? Well, the reason is very simple. It's to encourage God's people. To encourage Daniel, to encourage you and me. Back in the time of Daniel, hardship was coming. Intense persecution was coming. Antiochus Epiphanes and his horrific persecution was around the corner. But dear friends, evil and darkness and death would not and does not have the final word. But Jesus has the final word. In this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus says clearly, but take heart. That's his word of comfort and encouragement to you and to me. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus has risen. He has risen as the first fruits of the great resurrection harvest on the last day. His resurrection, in a sense, guarantees your resurrection and mine on the last day to eternal life. So first, our future hope, zeroing in there on chapter 12, verse 2, moves us to present faithfulness, verses 5 through 13. Well, Daniel then looks in verse 5 and he sees two angelic figures on the banks of the stream. And someone, perhaps one of the angels, asked the question in verse 6, how long? Perhaps it's a question that you have asked on many an occasion. How long? How long until the end of these wonders? How long until all of this plan and this purpose works out? Well, the man, the angel, raises, you'll note, both hands to heaven. It's quite a solemn scene. And he answers in verse 7, for a time, times, and half a time. Well, Daniel did not understand. It was quite helpful and encouraging as I was preparing this last week. Daniel didn't quite have everything all fully worked out. And thus Daniel asks again in verse 8, what will be the outcome of these things? How long? And how's it all going to work out? Look at verses 11 and 12. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Now let me give just a few brief observations on this answer and on what's going on in verses 5 through 13. A first observation, notice the answer given in verse 7. How long? A time, times, and half a time. What does that mean? Well, we've already seen that phrase earlier in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, where that specific reference is used to describe the time of suffering for the church at the hands of the fourth beast. We also see that exact language, not surprisingly, in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, speaks of a time, times, and half a time as the period of time in which the church, or the woman in the image of Revelation chapter 12, in the wilderness, is to be nourished by the Lord. The woman, the church, you and me, in the wilderness, are nourished by the Lord for a time, times, and half a time. I would suggest this is a reference to the inner Advent age, the time between the first and second coming of Christ, in which Satan does his worst against the church, but at the same time, the Lord protects and preserves and nourishes His people for a time, times, and half a time from the first coming of Christ unto the second coming of Christ. Thus, it is a time period known to God, limited by God, ordained by God, a time of hardship and suffering, and yet of nourishment and protection, enjoying the presence of the Lord by His Spirit until the Lord returns. So how long? A limited, sovereignly ordained period of time until the return of the King, and He makes all things new. You'll notice that Daniel didn't fully understand. Daniel didn't have, for example, the book of Revelation at his disposal. And so Daniel asks another question. What's it all going to be like? How will it all work out? And then note the answer given in verse 11. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So we see another time period, 1,290 days from when? From the time the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up. That's one event. That's one event in history. A reference to either Antiochus Epiphanes and his horrific actions in 167 to 164 BC, or describing events surrounding the resurrection of Christ and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Jesus Himself, stay with me just for a moment, Jesus Himself in Mark 13 describes the destruction of the temple as an abomination of desolation. I probably lean towards the second idea, that the references to events surrounding the destruction of the temple leading up until the return of the Lord. So it's the same time reference, 1,290 days equals the time, times, and half a time, this period between the first and second coming of our Lord. What about verse 12? Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. I don't know. It's hard to say with a whole lot of specificity. Perhaps it is a reference to the time of the consummation. Just a little bit more than the 1,290. Just a bit more, reference to the final consummation of all things, just a little bit longer. But again, it is a time period ordained by God, known by God, limited by God, moving us to the time of the great consummation, the return of King Jesus, and when He sets all things and makes all things new. But go back to verses 9 and 10. Daniel asks, what will be the outcome of these things? And notice what the angel says first. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. Daniel, go your way and know that the Lord is at work. That He is at work purifying and shaping and refining and taking a people unto themselves. That He is working in the midst and through and sovereignly in these difficulties that are coming. God is at work. He is always at work shaping and refining and building up His people. Peter speaks in 1 Peter 1:7 of the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Through all things, the Lord is working in the lives and in the hearts of those who are called according to His purpose. But I want to leave us with verse 13. As I said, there are some complexities. Daniel doesn't let us off the hook easy. There are some complexities, these numbers specifically. But the book closes on a beautifully simple yet encouraging note. Look at verse 13. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Daniel, go your way, and you will rest, and you will find, and you will stand. Another reference to the resurrection. You will stand in your place. Go your way, Daniel. Press on. Be encouraged. Isaiah 57:21 says that there is no peace for the wicked, but for the believer. For you, dear brother and sister, there is peace. Find your strength in the Lord. Walk by faith each day. We may not know what tomorrow may hold, but we can walk in faith in the one who holds tomorrow in the palms of his hands. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. That's what Daniel did. How did Daniel thrive and flourish in such a time? Daniel was a man of prayer. We see it early in his life. We see it again as an old man doing what he had always done, coming low and storming the gates of heaven. Know that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in the new heavens and the new earth, that we will stand, you will stand, dear friend, in the presence of your Lord. What does Jesus say in John 14? I am preparing a place for you. Your great shepherd is preparing a perfect place for you, for each of his sheep. And this is what Daniel had done. The very beginning of our series in Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, it says that Daniel went on and was found in the court of King Cyrus. Many decades later than when Daniel, as a young teenage boy, was taken into exile, Daniel had kept on. He had pressed on in faithfulness, walking in humility and resting in his Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 encourages us to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. There's a call to present faithfulness because we have a sure hope. Daniel had a sure hope, and you, dear friends, and me, we have a sure hope. Listen to the words of Jesus, and we'll close with this. John 6:39. Jesus will lose nothing that the Father has given him, but will raise us up on the last day. Jesus will not lose one sheep that the Father has given to him. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. And he will raise up every single sheep on the last day. That, dear friend, is a glorious encouragement to each of us. May that fill our hearts today and forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this sure future hope that we have in Christ, that Jesus was raised as the first fruits of the great resurrection harvest, that in Christ death has been defeated. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we rest in your promise. And may your promises move us and stir us to live faithfully for you in the here and now, to walk by faith wherever you have called us. May we walk by faith and not by sight, resting and trusting in you, spending time with you in prayer, feeding and nourishing on your word as you give yourself to your people. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.